Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, this is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you today who have taken out the time to just tune into this broadcast. I know your time is valuable, and I am truly, truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 29 minutes, I want to really add to your wellness experience and a topic that really took some time going over because there's so much information on it, but it really took some time to kind of put it all together. So first of all, please go to wiserliving.com. That's W-E-I-S-E-R, living.com. And on that initial page, you'll see on the right-hand side, the upper right-hand side, where you can actually get a Skype consultation for those who want consultations. You can also click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded by subscribing. You'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is actually uploaded. You can also get access to our archive radio programs at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all the articles, the programs, the services, Wiser Living seminars, recipes, and products. So do take a look at that at your earliest convenience. And with that, let's talk about a seasonal thing. Obviously, it's the end of the year. We talk about seasonal activities that we do, Christmas, holiday season, spending money, eating more food, supposed to be good cheers, and a lot of times there's a lot of other things that are going on, like depression or anxiety or stress. You know, we get stressed every month of the year, but this is one of those months that it kind of increases a bit. So let's talk a little bit about seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. Man, you're sad. You're not happy. Bummer. Anyway, seasonal affective disorder is also known as winter depression, winter blues, or even summer depression. Let's say you're in Australia, it could be it's summer there now, so it could be summer depression and summertime sadness, or just plain old seasonal depression. There are estimates saying that close to 20% of Americans are affected by this disorder each winter. And the fact that seasonal affective disorder occurs when the days begin to darken and sunlight is at a minimum is no longer just happenstance. For instance, your serotonin levels, this is the hormone that is associated with a happier mood. This level is on the rise when you are exposed to bright light. On the other hand of the spectrum is darkness or night. When it's dark, your melatonin hormone levels increases, which is why you may feel tired when the sun starts to set, which can be as early as 4 p.m. Here in Las Vegas, Nevada, where I am presently, the sun starts getting dark around 4:30 p.m. every day because we're in that winter arena. So light and darkness also has a hand in actually controlling your biological clock or your circadian rhythm, which, again, have a significant impact on the hormones that regulate your appetite and your metabolism. I had a patient give me a call just the other day, went to the doctor, the doctor said you have no metabolism. What does that mean? So I had to ask, what does that mean? And basically there's a lot of weight gain, metabolic rate is decreased, but she couldn't afford the treatment. And that's why I make every attempt to keep, say, my office as sunny and bright as I possibly can, because it's really difficult, and if you don't have the insurance or it's not covered by insurance, it's going to be difficult to treat. It's difficult to diagnose, let alone treat. So seasonal affective disorder affects about 1 in 20 people worldwide, and that's a lot of people. That's a lot of sad people. You know, luckily, it goes away when the season changes from gloomy to bright. But there are some areas of the world where it's more gloomy than sunny. So in those places like England, the Netherlands, Chicago, Alaska, in the upper northeast part of America, the New England states, as they call them. You know, it's more gloomy and then it's sunny, or when it is gloomy, it's gloomy for a longer time. So you have a lot of people that have this seasonal depression or seasonal affective disorder. You know, back in 1992, a study was conducted by some researchers at the University of Alaska at Anchorage, and it was published in the September issue of the American Journal of Psychiatry. And they surveyed about 283 people living in Fairbanks, Alaska, where at the beginning of winter, daylight lasts for less than 4 hours. Less than 4 hours of daylight. This is what they found. They found that women and young adults were more susceptible to seasonal depression. They found that 10% of the population suffers from severe symptoms of SAD, seasonal affective disorder. They found that an additional 20% of the population had milder symptoms of seasonal affective disorder. So that's a lot of people there that are running around with just being depressed and in a, you know, foul mood. Another study of 1,116 male soldiers and 191 female soldiers published in a study published in the July 2002 edition of Military Medicine showed that in the men, estimates were at 5.2% to 6.5% who actually suffered from seasonal affective disorder. In the women, the estimates were a bit higher. They were 8.9% to 13.1%. And in serious cases of SAD, that syndrome may affect as many as 10 million people, just in the U.S. alone. Not only that, there may be millions more that aren't even talking about it. So as many as 10 to 20% of people in the U.S. who have a mild form of SAD depression, which is also called the winter blues. So you have all these fancy names for it, but man, what do you do about it? I mean, in the United Kingdom, the Science Journal Drug and Therapeutics Bulletin estimates that 6% of their population there has seasonal affective disorder. On the other hand, seasonal depression is extremely rare in countries that lie closer to the equator where the sun is shining. Not only is it shining, it's shining brightly most of the year. And even in places where, like tropical areas where they do get almost, you know, rain every other day, it just comes and it goes. And the sun comes back out. You know, researchers at the Institute of Clinical Medicine in Norway, they reported that, and I quote, I'm going to read this quote, the population of northern Norway living without sun for 2 winter months does not spontaneously complain about depression during the dark period. Large population studies from northern Norway do not point to a higher prevalence of in winter than expected in any other general population. Now, this could be somewhat confusing. It makes you wonder if seasonal depression is actually a real thing. Is it a real diagnosis? Well, it certainly is. And in the case of the people of Norway, they're getting a certain type of nutrition that's helping to prevent seasonal allergies, which I'll mention a little later in the program. So let me give you 9 signs of depression. Let's lay a foundation of, you know, what is depression and what are the signs? Well, let me give you 9. Number 1, feeling sad, empty or tearful most of the day, nearly every day. So you're feeling sad, empty, crying. You're crying most of the day, or crying at the drop of a hat. And this is happening just about every day. Number 2, a loss of interest or pleasure in activities that you once enjoyed. You don't want to do them anymore. You're not getting the same effect from it. Number 3, a significant change in appetite that's often associated with 2 things, weight gain or even weight loss. So for me, as I'm saying this, I'm going, man, this overlaps. There's a lot of conditions that can be attributed, these symptoms can be attributed to. you have sleeping disorders, or you have trouble sleeping, or you're sleeping too much. You're not just hitting the snooze button. You're actually sleeping. I mean, you don't want to get up. That happens a lot to people that obviously that are depressed, or they're having financial problems, or they may be having personal problems or marital problems or what have you, friendship problems. And it also is one of the signs of depression. Number five, you're fatigued and you have a lack of energy. Man, a lot of us are like that. Number six, you have a feeling of hopelessness or helplessness. Number seven, there is a reduced ability to concentrate or make decisions. You just can't focus. That's a sign of depression. Number eight, you're experiencing agitation, restlessness, or even irritability. You're irritable. And you're showing other people, you're lashing out, uncontrollably sometimes for no reason. It seems like no reason, but there's an issue going on inside of your body. And number nine, you're having thoughts of death or suicide. This should be number one, but basically suicidal thoughts. As a matter of fact, many antidepressants have this as a side effect, suicidal thoughts, among other side effects. So let me give you seven signs of seasonal affective disorder. So I just gave you nine signs of straight out depression. You're depressed and something needs to be done about it. You can't get yourself out of depression. So here are seven signs of seasonal affective disorder. This is something you have and it kind of abates. It goes away when the season changes. Number one, sleep disorder. You have a hard time getting up. You have a hard time getting to sleep. Sounds like depression, full-blown depression. So there's an overlap. Number two, you tend to overeat, especially carbohydrates. And so, many of you know that sometimes you get depressed, you yawn a lot, you want to just go to sleep, your body just changes. You want to eat carbohydrates, or you sit down and eat a little ice cream, the next thing you know, you eat a whole half gallon. Well, not quite a half gallon, but half of that. You tend to overeat, which basically is what is going to lead to weight gain. Number three, depression. Depression, despair, and anxiety. So you got this depressed state, just like you feel terrible. Then you have anxiety. I mean, it's terrible to be depressed and anxious at the same time. That's like you're being pulled apart like stretching a rubber band. Number four, social phobia. You just don't want to be around family or friends. You just can't be bothered. Lethargy, you're lethargic. Number six, physical issues like stomach problems or joint aches, just generalized. Well, that could be diagnosed as IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, or if it's a joint ache, it'd be some type of arthritis because it's inflammation. But it's also a sign of seasonal affective disorder. And behavioral problems, especially in children. Kids are arguing with you and things like that. And a lot of times they're in school arguing with the teacher, won't sit down, won't be quiet, won't be like the other students. So they get sent to the nurse's office, end up on a medication, hyperactive or antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication. So there can be an overlap, as I said, of symptomatology when diagnosing seasonal depression versus total depression, even versus hyperactivity. And to complicate it even further, most people with seasonal affective disorder, they experience major depressive disorder, but as many as 20% may have a bipolar disorder attached to it. Doctors can have a challenging time getting to the bottom line when diagnosing one from the other. So how does one overcome seasonal affective disorder? Or how do you overcome depression? Well, you can get a prescription for a psychotropic drug, but do they actually work? Do they really work? I mean, most of us know someone who's taking a psychotropic drug. Furthermore, psychiatry still doesn't understand what causes psychological distress. They treat a lot of people with it. And the primary theory that's proposed, the idea that unwanted behavior and depression are due to an imbalance of serotonin and dopamine in the brain, has never been proven. Research has proven this theory wrong, but they still prescribe psychotropic drugs for depression. And one of the problems with psychotropic drugs like Adderall or Ativan or Elavil or Effexor or Clonopin, what's some other ones, Prozac, Paxil, Trazodone. I mean, I know people that I see on a daily basis that are taking these. Valium, Wellbutrin, Xanax, Zoloft, and that list goes on and on and on. And some people are on multiple psychotropic drugs. And one of the significant dangers of these and other psychotropic drugs is that they can upset the delicate processes within your brain that are needed to maintain your biological function. They can upset the delicate processes that are needed to maintain your biological function. So other things, so there's going to be another overlap. And as many as 700,000 adverse reactions, 700,000 adverse reactions, and 42,000 deaths are attributed to these antidepressants and antipsychotic drugs. From a medication or the effects of medication. And a study published back in January 2009 in the New England Journal of Medicine found that antipsychotic and antidepressant drugs increase the risk of a lethal cardiac event, a heart issue. That's total when it's like you didn't even go in for your heart. Your heart was fine. You took a medication for depression or a seasonal depression, and this is what happened. So what can we do? Here's some tips for beating the winter blues or even, you know, all-season blues. So it doesn't matter if it's 1 month, 2 months, or every month. Here's some things that you can actually do to beat this. Number one, light is a major factor in overcoming seasonal affective disorder. Light, especially blue light, or a broad spectrum light, which is better than incandescent or the typical light bulbs that we have, which is yellow light. Blue light has been found to play a key role in your brain's ability to process emotions and could even prevent seasonal affective disorder. So blue emitting light bulbs should be in your house. So when you go out and buy your bulbs and when you need to buy bulbs and change them out, look for broad spectrum of lights would have that blue light emitting light in it. Number two, and I've said this on other programs for other issues, and we just cannot get around this. Yet, I typically find people saying that they don't have the time or they just can't do it. But exercising, regular exercise, regular physical activity has been found to work better than antidepressant drugs. In fact, it's one of the most powerful strategies available to prevent and treat depression and to boost your mood. So exercising, you've got to get it inside of your brain that it's a good thing. And you should start out slow. Just start out slow until it becomes a habit. Because there are so many places that you can do exercise. When I say exercise, I'm talking about movement. You can do it in an office. You can do it at home. You can use your kitchen countertop to do push-ups. You can do it in your bathroom countertop. You can do squats. There's so many things that you can do to create movement, which is exercise. You know, look, you can do it to overcome seasonal affective disorder, exercise. So we got light is a major factor, and exercising is a major factor. Number two, going to sleep early and addressing insomnia. Okay. You were designed to go to sleep basically when the sun sets and wake up when the sun arises. Okay. If you stray too far from this biological pattern, you will disrupt delicate hormonal cycles in your body. A lot of us have hormonal imbalances. And this disruption can affect both your mood and your health. Now, the link between depression and the lack of sleep is well established. I mean, we all know about it. And of the approximately 18 million Americans with depression, more than half of them struggle with insomnia. As a matter of fact, in one study I read, 87% of depression patients who resolved their insomnia had major improvements to their depression, with symptoms actually disappearing after 8 weeks. And while there are individual differences, as a general rule, you want to aim for at least 8 hours of sleep per night. Work your way up to it. Number three, avoid processed foods. Wow. Avoid processed foods. We've mentioned this in other programs on other issues. A factor that cannot be overlooked, and you're never going to be able to overlook it, is your diet. Diet, your way of life. You know, food has a major, major impact on your mood and the ability to cope. And eating a diet of fresh whole foods will best support your mental health. Refined sugar and processed fructose are actually known to have a detrimental impact on your brain function and mental health in general. So eliminating artificial sweeteners will also decrease your chances of suffering their toxic effects. Number four, optimizing your gut health. Optimizing your gut health. You know, fermented foods such as fermented vegetables are also important for optimal mental health. Remember, your gut is your second brain. So goes your colon, so go you. And many of us fail to realize that the gut is instrumental in influencing your mind, influencing your mood, and influencing your behavior. Your gut actually produces more mood-regulating serotonin than your brain does. So you got to get a handle on that. You know, I get fermented veggies, a fermented juice, a Himalayan. This is what I do in the morning. I did this morning. I got ate some fermented vegetables, drank fermented juice, drank a little Himalayan salt solution called Soleil, and then I added my Real Food Technology Solution food-based supplement into my gut just to get me ready to take on this day. And I do this every day. Not every other day, every day. Number five, increasing high-quality omega-3 fats. Why? Because your brain consists of about 60% fat, DHA specifically. So you need a constant input of essential omega-3 fats for your brain to work properly. The people in Norway that I spoke of earlier who have a lower incidence of depression despite, you know, having 2 months of no sun, well, they eat a lot of cold water fish. So they're getting a lot of good fats into their system. In fact, one 2009 study showed that people with lower blood levels of omega-3 were more likely to have symptoms of depression and a more negative outlook, while those with higher blood levels demonstrated the opposite states. Now, there's a growing body of evidence showing that vitamin D plays a crucial role in disease prevention. Vitamin D plays a crucial role in disease prevention and maintaining optimal health. So there's about 30,000 genes in your body, and vitamin D affects about 10% of 3,000 of these genes. And as well as vitamin D, there are vitamin D receptors that are located throughout your body. So vitamin D, D3 now, is crucial. It's crucial to get this in your body, especially if you're not getting enough sunlight. Vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin. They don't call it the sunshine vitamin just to be calling it that. It's because when you're in the sun, your body is able to produce vitamin D. But we don't get enough of it, so we need to supplement. So you need to supplement with vitamin D3, especially during the gloomy months. You know, many disease states have overlapping symptoms, as I said a little earlier. And you can see from today's program on this seasonal affective disorder, this sad disorder, this depressive disorder, you can see that since there's overlap, there must be a criteria that we can use to cover a lot of this. And it is. The way I see it, to give your body the tools, the armor needed so that it can build and defend and restore itself, no matter what the issue is, it requires basically eight things. And I want to take a couple of minutes just to go over. I won't go into detail, which I could spend, you know, a program on each one of them. But this is what I found, and this is what I put in my body each and every day to address these issues so I don't have to, you know, deal with it, or at least give my body a fighting chance to be more efficient, more effective, and more disease-free, because we're all being attacked by viruses, bacteria, and toxins, and we just can't get around it. It's everywhere. The first thing is communication at the cellular level. So I utilize glycans or glyconutrients in a pill and powder form every day so my cells can communicate with tissues, the organ system, and keep me in a state of wellness. Number two, all-around protection. Those cells, my body needs all-around protection. So I put on a cellular armor, which is an antioxidant, a good, workable antioxidant. Number three, I consume a plant source vitamin and mineral, a phytomatrix, every day. Plus, I take a blend of herbs like wild yam extract and beta testosterone and amino acids to support hormone production. Because there's about 87 hormones that the body produces, and so I need to take something to do that. And also, I need it to support breast, prostate, bone, and colon health. Then I make sure I have gastrointestinal enzymes and probiotics in my system. As I mentioned before, a really cost-effective way to do that is to ferment. So make you some fermented vegetables. You can actually make them with some water, salt, and whatever vegetable you want. It's not time-consuming. And I eat the fermented vegetables and drink the juice. Drink a little juice every day, tablespoon, two tablespoons, what have you. And number six, I drink water. I try to drink lots of water. I shouldn't use the word try, either do it or don't. I either drink it or I don't drink it. But I start out drinking. So if you don't like water, start with a little bit and add a little bit every week, a little more. You know, if you can only do a glass a day, you know, next week do two glasses, and then you work your way up to being hydrated. And number seven, the word that we can't get around is exercise. Got to exercise. Start with a little and work your way up. And number eight, and I think this is probably the most important, is harmony. Being grateful, being thankful, you know, laughing, being joyful, expressing love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and last but not least, self-control. So that's seasonal affective disorder. And that's why I give you some pointers to keep it in a box, you know, away from you. Easy to do. Go to wiserliving.com. Check out the articles. Check out some of the recipes, you know, on fermenting. And, you know, check out the product section where you can, you know, take a look at the products that I take as well. If you have those products in your home and they're working for you, keep taking them. Make sure you do that. But please, not only exercise your body, but exercise your mind. So, you know, read a lot, and tune into this broadcast next week. And remember, let your food be your medicine. Let your food be your medicine, your food. And let your medicine be your food. Let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.